In this way, the essential identity of Sri Vaikuntha has been defined. Ta cha yata Sri Bhagavan eva kvachit purna dvena kvachit amsha dvena shavartate tataive ki bahavas tasyati beda padmo tura kanda dao drashtadhyā. Okay, now, in the same way as the personality of Godhead himself is present sometimes in his fullness and sometimes has partial expansions, so also Vaikuntha has many different forms, as can be seen in the Uttara Kanda of the Padma Purana and elsewhere. Okay, this is a standard method of investigation or analysis in all sorts of Vedic arts and sciences. First, you define the sarupa of something of your topic. You identify what it is. And then you describe its varieties or its divisions. And then you can define each of the divisions. And you can divide the divisions. Anyway, we've identified Vaikuntha as not different from the Lord, and also eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Now, the Lord appears in various forms, some of them only partial revelations of himself. Okay, that's the last time I can let someone in after the class starts. Okay. Just looked at, have to enforce the rule. I didn't make it up. Similarly, Vaikuntha also appears in partial expansions. So Vaikuntha has many different forms, as we can see in the Uttara Kanda of the Padma Purana and elsewhere. Yeshu Sri Matsya Devadi Nam Chapadani Vartante. Among these are the abodes of Sri Matsya Dev and other incarnations. Matsyadeva is a partial expansion and amsha of Narayan, because he only exhibits part of the opulence of Narayan. He doesn't do all the things that Narayan does. He doesn't exhibit all the qualities of Narayan. What to speak of Krishna, of everything that Krishna has. Similarly, there is the abode of Matsyadeva. That's a partial expansion of Vaikuntha. It is Vaikuntha, but it's a toned down Vaikuntha, where not everything is manifest in the same way. Okay, where do we get this idea from? Tadeva Suchayati. This is implied in the verse. Statement from 456. Sorry, I'm trying to find the place. Where is in the Bhagavatam, third canto, 19th chapter. Evam hiranyaksham asanya vikramam sasadayat vaharir adi sukaraha jagama lokam swam akarnitot savam samirita pushkara vischaradi vihi. after, now this is not about Vasudev, but about Lord Brahma, after thus disposing of the most formidable demon, Hiranyaksha. I have to check the translation of this. What's the verse number?
319.
31. There's a word missing. After thus killing, and I said, after thus disposing of, okay, I guess I just tried to make it more literal. Okay. After thus disposing of the most formidable demon, Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord, Hari, the origin of the boar species, returned to his own abode, where there is always an uninterrupted festival. The Lord was praised by all the demigods, headed by Brahma. Okay, Sarayitva Hatva. Having disposed of means having killed. What's this verb sad? It's not with an aspirated D, it's a long ad and an unaspirated D. I'm looking in the dictionary right now. There's no such word. It's from Sud? Sud. No, why would it be? That's a good one. Where does Sadhyatva come from? Sadhyatva, 1139, column 1. It's from Sad. Okay, from Sad to sit. Sad is making somebody sit. So, but let's see, the causative of Sad. Sad Dhatu. Well, no, you have to look under the root, and then the causative will be described under the main listing for the root. Sud is here, at page 138, second column, and the 12 lines down, 14, 15 lines down, it says causative, sadhyati. Okay? Got that? To cause, to sit down or be seated. Place down, put upon or in. Then, to put in distress, afflict, weary, exhaust, ruin, destroy. Okay, now what did I say? Dispose of. Okay, maybe that's not the most accurate translation to say dispose of. Anyway, dispose of. Sad. To put somebody down. You know, okay, we'll say dispose of. But what it means is atva, killing him. Anyway, that's all. I was just explaining this not very common verb, sad, causative of sad. Pravitra ropana pasange chaivam aha baudayanava. The same is said by baudayana in connection with the pravitra aropa ritual. What's the pravitra aropa? Anybody know? Okay, it's the setting up of the pavitra, and it's described in Bhaktayana Sutra, but I don't know which sutra.
There is one pavitra utsava comes every year in Sri Sampradaya festivals.
Yes.
And that then they offer the pavitra means pure, they offer the silk, silk garland, like Narsinga pavitra we have.
Yes, so they offer it to the deity?
Yeah.
They only do it once a year?
Once a year.
And he just wears it all year?
No, just that day they offer.
A new one.
It is like kind of atonement of. It denotes an atonement of mistakes the pujaris commission the deity. So on this day they purify all those contaminations by offering that pure silk, the pavitrots. You know, it's connected.
Okay, then this may be the same thing. The only thing is, Baudayana is a Vedic rishi. He wrote sutras. I think he wrote Shrauta Sutras and Vrihya Sutras, and even Dharma Sutras. He wrote three different kinds of sutras related to the Vedic rituals. So, and this is what you're describing as Pancharatri, so I don't know if it's the same thing, or maybe they're related. We have some Bhagavad or something upstairs, but we've never found this statement. Anyway, in connection with the Pavitra Rupa festival, it does look like a, so it looks like the same thing. Anyway, the statement is, evam yakurute vidvan varshe varshe na samshayaha sayati paramamstanam yatvadevo vikesari. One who, a learned person, who thus performs this year after year, so it's each year, will undoubtedly go to the supreme location where the Lord lives as the half-man, half-lion. Okay, so Lord Shukadev and Lord Varaha each have their own Vaikuntha worlds, own subdivisions of Vaikuntha. It looks like this is not a Vedic ritual, otherwise it wouldn't be referred to Lord Shukadev. So it's probably the same thing you're talking about. I don't know what Bhagavad has to do with describing it. Okay.
The same Bodhayana who wrote that commentary on Brahma Sutras, Bodhayana Vritti, Ramanuja refers.
We don't know because we don't have the commentary. We only have Ramanuja's quotations. It's lost. We just have those few quotes, but so we can't really say who he is. Might be a different. Bodhayana is any descendant of Buddha, so it could be somebody else. Okay, moving on. Are there any questions? There's no commentary on this except for I need to find some information about this Pavitra Ropana and what Bhaudayana has to do about it, but I haven't found out yet. So no commentary.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh boy. Is that a different speaker? Smaller?
You mentioned about this Suchayati word, Suchan or something. It is mentioned in the...
Oh, Suchayati. Such means to hint. Or to tell behind somebody's back. You know, to tell that somebody's doing something wrong.
Yeah.
That's called Such. But also to hint at something.
So, where it is hinted that Matsya planet is...
Well, actually, both of these verses don't say anything about being partial or not. They just say that they're special, they're own places. So it's not generic Vaikuntha. They've got their own district, their own part. And yeah, so what's being hinted at is not the partiality, but that the Matsudev and other have their own abodes. That's
So Matsya planet means it's a kind of transcendental ocean, something that Matsya means?
It's a Vaikuntha planet.
So we can stay outside the ocean, something. Stays outside the ocean also, that's the Matsya form.
Outside the ocean?
Matsya means the fish incarnation, or is it is a 400?
Matsya the fish incarnation, although it may not be appearing as a fish there, I don't know. In the illustration of the first canto cover, there are all sorts of names. I don't know if Korda and Matsya are there, no, they're not. But they're all four of Vishnu forms. Well, it's my Kunta planet, it's not the material one. So if there's any ocean there, it's not a material ocean. It's just part of the scenery of the planet, of the Vaikuntha, that Vaikuntha realm. Anyway, you can take it logically that because these are particular parts of Vaikuntha, we can presume that these are not outside Vaikuntha, somewhere other than Vaikuntha. It's inside Vaikuntha, but these are two separate worlds inside Vaikuntha. That means they're partial, because they're not all of Vaikuntha, they're just each of them a special part of Vaikuntha. So, you know, logically you can understand they're not the whole thing. If they were, then both of them would be the same. But they're separate places within Vaikuntha.
In one planet,
yeah, you say planet.
Loka?
Yeah, because the word Loka is used in that first verse. He went to his world. World doesn't necessarily mean a globe floating in outer space. It means but the word is Loka.
Okay. And could we also hear that every incarnation of Lord doesn't have their own Vaikuntha? Is there anybody who comes in there? Buddha has also his own planet?
Well, there are some incarnations that are not eternal, that are just appearing sometimes in the eternal world. Maybe Bhavanimurti. If there are any more, they're mentioned in the Lagu Bhagavatam, which I don't remember.
And Buddha also has his own planet?
I don't know. First of all, I think he's considered Shakyamesh. If he's not Vishnu, he won't have a life on the planet. All right. You have a question?
Regarding this Narasimhadev and having a planet, I have heard two versions from two different devotees, that one devotee told, because when Narasimhadev appeared for Prahlad Maharaj, Lakshmi Devi didn't approach Narasimhadev because she told that I never seen such a form.
Yes.
So on this statement of Lakshmi Devi, some two different devotees spoke two different things, that in Vaikuntha planet, Narasimhadev is not in 400 form. Narasimhadev is in 400 form, but here when he came in the form of Narasimhadev. So Lakshmi Devi didn't see Narasimhadev's form before. So she felt that I have never seen such a form of the Lord.
Okay.
And other devotee told that actually Narasimhadev is in the form of Narasimhadev, but here when he was in really in angry mood, Yog Maya covered Lakshmi Devi. And she is speaking that I have never seen such a form of the Lord.
Okay.
Narasimhadev is which form in he stays in Vaikuntha?
Well, I don't know. Therefore, I don't have to choose between the two. I don't know. Also, I don't know who these two devotees are. So I don't know who I'm disagreeing with. And I don't know whether they saw this information in a shastra or just guessed. So if it said so in an authorized shastra, okay, we'll have to accept it. But otherwise, we're just guessing, and both of them are possible guesses if they're not actually there in scripture. I can't choose between the two.
No. My question is not to choose, but what is the exact thing?
I really don't know. What's really there in Vaikuntha? I don't know. I haven't read anything I've read, but I haven't read everything. So.
But Narasimhadev has his own form in the spiritual world.
Well, he's present. He's got his own, under his own name, he's got his own plan. We just read that. But it doesn't say what he looks like there. He might have the name Nisringa and just look like Narayan. I don't know. So then you see pictures he's supposed to be half man, half lion anyway. This sounds like the Matsu, you see him with a Vishnu on the top and the bottom half is a fish. Sometimes you see pictures like that. I don't know if those pictures are correct. Yes. So we have to, when we get to these kind of questions, and we want to know what's the fact. Most of us don't have any vision of Vaikuntha, and Vaikuntha is not directly described so much in the Puranas. There's some hints, there's some in the Bhagavatam, but there's not an elaborate description of what's actually there in Vaikuntha. But all we can go by is what we are told in Shastra. And then a few things we can deduce, but other things we just don't have enough information. But the most reliable source of knowledge of sorting these things out is what pieces of information we do get from the Shastras, from the bona fide Shastras. Mm-hmm. And there may be something on this, but I haven't seen it.
Or because, like, two different Acharyas have spoken two different things out of their ecstasy.
Maybe. But does it come from an Acharya's commentary, or is it just something when you give a class and you just try to guess the answer?
Yeah.
So we don't, I don't know. Maybe they read it in Acharya's commentary. And Acharyas may give different, you know, apparently contradictory opinions. Apparently contradictory. Okay. Yes. Sorry, you were.
Still, I was in doubt about different questions about the most theoretical again. I think that Krishna, he made one expansion that he went to this material world, and that he returned back, and that this extension they merged to one plant, at one plant at the same world. So because it's not stated
like example?
In the case of Paramatma, for example.
Well, Paramatma is not Bhagavan, and Paramatma is not present in the spiritual world at all. He's only present in the material world as Paramatma. But Paramatma is an expansion of each of the three Vishnus. There may be cases where Krishna has within him merged, the Chaturvyuha. And then sometimes later on in Dwarka, all four of them appear separately. That doesn't mean that the Chaturvyuha is not eternal. It's just that in the pastime, they're not manifest until a certain point. So when we see the Lord, a form, an expansion of Krishna merging into him, or merging into Narayana, and then coming out again, that's not, that doesn't mean that form is not eternal. It just means for a certain time it's manifest, and some other time it's not manifest. But it still can be eternal and have its own Vaikuntha planet.
What kind of example that the Sultana is like a different mood of this mood of God, and then when he's in this mood of playing like Rahadeva, he manifests this form out of himself, and then he comes to this material world, and then he comes back, and then he...
Well, but then you're saying that Rahadeva doesn't have an eternal place in the spirit of Vaikuntha. And he just, when Krishna feels like that, Varana comes, and when he doesn't feel like that, there's no Varana. But we just read about these Matsyas and the Shringadevas, eternal planets. And, we just read about Varanadev having an eternal planet in Vaikuntha. So he's not just something that appears temporarily when Krishna feels like being Varana. He's eternally there in his own place in Vaikuntha. That verse just said that. We went to Swam Lokam, Akamya Totsavam, where there's a perpetual festival. That's not material planning.
But it can be also that it's like a Swam Lokam is Krishna's abode, Krishna's eternal planet, and then he came there, he merged with the Krishna, and continued his
existence. That's grammatically a little far-fetched. Because Swam refers to the subject. The subject here is Adi Shukra. So it's Adi Shukra's planet, not Govinda's planet.
Just a few notes.
Okay. We move to the next paragraph. Vayu Purani to Shivapuram, Abhitat Matriyate. And in Vayu Purana, we hear of the city of Lord Shiva, similarly described. Okay, what does it say about the planet of Lord Shiva? And why are we talking about the planet of Lord Shiva? Let's see. Okay. Andaukasya samanta jisva. Excuse me, Vayu Purana. Andaukasya samantatu sanivishto gano dadihi samantad yena to yena Daryamana Satishtati. All around the multitude of universal eggs is infused a dense body of water. The mass of eggs is supported on all sides by this water. Okay, now that's not material water, because in each universe, each separate egg universe has its own supply of elements. Except for the Mahatattva. The Mahatattva is shared by all the universes. It is one big body of Mahatattva that comes from Mahavishnu. Each separate universe has its own, all the other elements inside itself. And they have shells around of each element. So this water that's outside, and all the eggs are floating in it, and all the universes, this is not material water then. What is it? Okay, dense water, massive water. And then, Bayato nanato yasya tiryam urvam tramandalam daryamanam samantatu tishtate gamate jasa. Outside this dense water, extending sideways and upwards, is a sphere supported on all sides by intense light. Okay. That spherical. Ayo Buddha Nivo Vakni Samanta Mandalakriti Samanta Ganavatina Daryamana Satishtati. That spherical fire is as concentrated on all sides as if it was hidden within a sheath of iron. And it stands supported on all sides by dense air. Ganapatam tadakasho darayanas tutishtati buddhadishtatra atata akasham buddhadim cha tata mahat. Supporting the dense air, there is ether, false ego and ignorance, which is the source of the physical elements called bhutadi. That's false ego and ignorance. False ego and ignorance, which is the source of the physical elements, supports the ether, and the mahat supports the source of the elements. It sounds like material elements. Okay. Mahat vyapto hyamantena avyaktena tudaryate anantam aparivyaktam anadididanam chatat. The all-pervading Mahat is further supported by the unlimited, unmanifested material nature. This unlimited nature is undifferentiated. That's pradana. It's undifferentiated without beginning or end. Tama eva nilalokam amaryanam adeshikam tamaso teja vidyatam akasham teja basvaram. It is darkness where nothing can be seen, without boundaries and with no identifiable location in space. Maryadaya matastasya shivasyayam tanam mahat tvidashanam angamiyam tu stanam divyam iti shudihi. On the edge of this realm, beyond the darkness and beyond the ether, is the radiant, vast abode of Lord Shiva. It is described by Shruti as a divine place where the 30 principal demigods are unable to approach. Iti Sri Maitreya. The verse under discussion, not these verses, but going back to the beginning of the energy, even the one about Hiranyaksha and Varahadev, that was spoken by Sri Maitreya, the third canto, ninth chapter. Okay, so we're given a description from the Vayu Purana of Lord Shiva's planet, not much about it, but that it's there. It looks like outside all the shells of the material elements. But Vaibhavana is putting sort of contrary to what I've read elsewhere, that the shells have belong to each universe. But here we've got all the universes and then some shells outside all the universes together, all the different elements. And the last one is a false ego. Then we also read elsewhere that Lord Shiva's original abode is in the covering of false ego. But here we're going beyond that. Mahatattva and then Pradhan. And outside that Pradhan is a different abode, I guess an even more original abode of Lord Shiva. Okay, let's see what information about this we have in the commentary. I have some quotes from the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. Okay, actually I'm just, all I'm doing in the commentary is explaining who these 30 demigods are, Tridasha. The 30, or actually 33, chief demigods are the 12 Adityas, 8 Vasus, 11 Rudras, and 2 Ashvinis. Those are 33. Srimad Bhagavatam lists them by name. Atatam Shriyatam Vamsho Yoditir Anupur Vashaha Yatra Narayano Deva Swamshin Avataran Vinuhu Vivaswan Aryama Pusha Toshta David Vashtata Sapita Bhagaha Data Vidata Varuno Vitra Shakra Uru Krumaha Uru Kramaha. We have a mistake in the BBT edition of this. This is for the sixth canto, sixth chapter. This is a mistake we used to make often. The word Shakra is the name of Indra. But we misread the concept, and in the BBT book it says Shakra. Shatru, enemy. But it's actually chakra. The tru and the kra look sort of similar in Devanagari. So the BBT has made a mistake here. It said Shatru. And Indra is, that's not Indra's name. He's not called Shatru, he's called Chakra. Translation. Now, please hear me as I describe the descendants of Aditi in chronological order. In this dynasty, the Supreme Personality of Narayan descended by his plenary expansion. That means he came as Vamanadeva, brother of the the youngest brother of the Adityas. The names of the son of Aditi are as follows. Vivaswan, Aryama, Pusha, Twashta, Savita, Bhaga, Data, Vidata, Varuna, Mitra, Shakra, and the number 12 is Urukrama, or Vamanadeva. These are the 12 Adityas. Okay, now the Vasus, who are they? That's also in the same chapter, 6:6. Vasavo, Shtaro, Vaso, Putras, Tesham, Namani, Me, Shrinu, Drona, Prano, Dhruvor, Kor, Gnir, Dosho Vastur Viva Vasu. The sons of Vasu are known as the 8 Vasus. Okay, they're the sons of Vasu. Just hear their names from me. Drona, Prana, Dhruva, Arka, Agni, Dosha, Vastu, and Vibhavasu. Those are the 8 Vasus. Doesn't tell us any more about who they, what they are, but that's their names. And then the, how many, 12? 11 Rudras. Sarupa Sutabhutasya Bharya Rudram Shakoti Shaha Raimato Jo Bhavo Bhimo Vamo Ugro Vishakapihi Ajay Kapan Ahir Pradno Bhavo Rupo Mahaditi. Sarupa, the wife of Bhuta, gave birth to 10 million Rudras, of whom the 11 principal Rudras were Raivata, Aja, Bhava, Bhima, Vama, Ugra, Vrishakapi, Ajaikapat, Ayurbrahma, Bahurupa, and Mahan. But these are partial expansions of Lord Shiva. Okay, so that's all we hear about Lord Shiva's abode. Just that it appears similarly outside the material realm, like Vaikuntha. Okay. Any questions?
So does it mean that the like Lord Shiva is a partial manifestation of Lord Vishnu, like a built yoga, and he doesn't manifest all over the Lord Narayana? So does it mean he's a god also a partial manifestation of Vaikuntha?
I wouldn't say manifestation is a transformation. Yoga is not a manifestation of milk. Yoga is not milk. It's chemically changed. So Shiva is not Vishnu. He's not Vishnu Tattva. And so he's not completely spiritual the way Narayan is. And so his abode is not completely spiritual. It's not just a partial revelation of the completely pure spiritual. It's something different. Not material, it's something in between.
So what is the reason for putting this abode? Because you would expect that he's not Krishna, he's a fully Krishna fully is his holiness in the whole crime.
What is the purpose? What is the purpose of God?
What is the purpose of God? Of speaking about what Shiva's abode? Because it's not a recognition of Tattva.
Well, the only thing is, Tattvat. I guess he's pointing out the similarity. Why? Well, we can understand Lord, the Supreme Lord, partially by understanding Lord Shiva, because he has superhuman or super normal qualities. He has qualities that jivas don't. So you can understand Bhagavan partially by understanding Shiva, by understanding those qualities which he has that jiva cannot have. Similarly, it can help us understand Vaikuntha, to understand the partially transcendental nature of his abode. One who is transcendental has a transcendental abode. That's the basic point we're making. Bhagavan is purely spiritual, so his abode is purely spiritual. And then look at the case of someone who's, partly spiritual. His abode is also partly spiritual. It's a rule, therefore, that helps establish a general rule. That because so-and-so is so-and-so, then his abode should also be so-and-so. When you want to prove a rule, you need more than one example. Not only Narayan, not only the Supreme Lord, but also even Lord Shiva follows this rule. So it's a general rule. We can apply it that logically. It's not just a special, case of Lord Vishnu. Anybody who's special will have a special abode.
But at the same time, they may argue that because we listed Lord Shiva along with Lord Shiva's Goga, along with Lord Narayana's Goga, or Masa's Goga, or Nisipadara's Goga, so he must be at the same level or belonging to the same category to the Vishnu Tattva. They may argue that.
No, that's poor fund of information. If you actually read Lord Shiva's descriptions in the Puranas, he's never equated with Vishnu. Vishnu is never, it's never denied that Vishnu is supreme anywhere in the Puranas. There may be ideas, hints that maybe he doesn't look like he's supreme, but it never comes out and says he's not supreme, somebody else is. And the way that Lord Shiva and his abode are described, he doesn't really rival Lord Vishnu. Look what we're reading here. His abode is outside of that dark region, which is the pradhan. It doesn't say anything about the glories that you find in Vaikuntha. It's in a dark place. It's light, but it's next to the darkness. Vaikuntha has a whole totally different description.
Although you said that it's pranam, divyam.
Okay, it's divyam.
It's divyam, but
that's, yeah, but
it's not as divyam as.
Yeah, it doesn't say, it doesn't specify it. But it doesn't describe it as just as good as Vaikuntha. Nothing there is said like that. Well, I thought spiritual because I'm just following the way it's described in Vishnu Purana, other Puranas, that all the material things are contained within the material shells, except for the Mahatattva, which, you know, pervades all the universes. But here we have a different description. All these material elements are outside all the universes. Okay, you know, maybe some way to reconcile it. But I said spiritual, but no, these are material elements.
Also, in the same pattern, like you once you explained that originally become Krishna, he has two arms, and then you have his slight distortion, also slight weakness, transformation, all around, is almost the same but different color, different mood. Then we have Lord Narayana, two arms, then we have Lord Shiva, then we have a different jivas, like human being, then we have different insects and
right, but when you get to Lord Shiva, you've stepped over a line. It's no longer Bhagavan, no longer Vishnu Tattva. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
So is it proper therefore to sort of conclude that there are three planes? There is a material plane, intermediate plane, and spiritual plane.
What do you mean by the intermediate plane?
In the case of Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is...
Well, yes. With Jiva Tattva, well, no. When you say spiritual, material, and... Yeah, but Shiva, he's not there in that middle. He's in the middle between Bhagavan and Jiva, Paramatma and Jivatma. And then there's Shiva Atma in the middle. He's not in between dead matter and God. He's in between a lot live Jivas and God. You see? It's not that he's half dead, but he's half God.
Okay, one more question.
Yeah.
Like when we describe material beings, we sort of break them down into eight elements.
Yes.
Like from gross elements and sub-elements. And we mentioned water. Water is being one of the material elements. And I was wondering how does it sort of, it being a material element and being within the spiritual?
Which water? You mean what was described in these verses?
Yeah.
Okay, but I was wrong to say that they're spiritual. These are material also. Because Lord Shiva's abode is not purely spiritual. So these are actually material shells surrounding all the universes, according to Vayu Purana. All right.
Yes. Prabhu, I had heard that Shiva lives with ghosts and goblins. So how these entities, like ghosts, are there in the tabor, which is out of the world?
But not necessarily they're there. So Shiva has devotees in different modes, because he rules all three modes. Not just ignorance. So he has devotees in the mode of goodness too. Great sages and saintly persons are his devotees also, other devotees. He's got different camps of devotees. So the ghosts and spirits, they don't necessarily reside on his highest abode. They may associate with him somewhere else inside the material world. Well, we know from elsewhere that Lord Shiva is something in between Vishnu and Jiva. So, the whole point being made here is the comparison of similarity.
Okay.
So, if the person who is completely spiritual has an abode, that abode is completely spiritual. If the person who is not quite God, half God, has an abode, it's going to be somewhere in the middle, between the abode of Jivas and the abode of the Supreme Lord. Okay, just by logic. Okay, now we'll start the next avijaya. Okay. There's something that the abode of the Lord can do. And we'll discuss and read it right now. Evam chayata shri bhagavan vapur ava avyabhavati loke tataiva kvachit kasichit tatparasi avyabhava shriyate. And in the same way as the body of the personality of Godhead makes an appearance in this world, so also we hear from scripture about one or another of his abodes appearing. I didn't translate the word kvachit. I'm just going to add the word sometimes. Okay? Right. So, avatars of the Lord. It's coming, that eternal form of the Lord that's eternally present in Vaikuntha sometimes appears in the material world, and that's the Lord's avatar. Well, Vaikuntha also descends and sometimes shows itself in the material world. It can't show itself eternally in the material world, because the material world is not eternal. Here's an example from the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam. Patni vikunta shubrasya vaikunta surasattamai tvayo sakalaya jagye vaikunto bhagavan svayam vaikunta kalpito yena loko loka namaskritaha ramaya prajyamanina devya tatpriya kamyaya. From the combination of Shudra and his wife, Vikunta, there appeared the Supreme Personality of Godhead named Vaikunta, along with demigods who were his personal plenary expansions. Just to please the Goddess of Fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikunta, at her request, constructed another Vaikunta planet, which is worshipped by everyone. Commentary. The Manvantara incarnation Vikunta is briefly described by Shukadeva Goswami in the context of the period of the rule of the fifth Manu, Raivata. This Lord Vaikunta is one of the less known avatars of the Supreme Lord, and nothing more is said about him in the Bhagavatam. We only receive the information that he manifested an expansion of his eternal kingdom within the finite material world. We do read in the Lama Bhagavatamrita that, according from some Shastra, I don't think the Bhagavatam, that he created this planet, or maybe it is the same passage of the Bhagavatam, that he did it for his wife to create a place that is greater than Indra's abode. He has a rivalry with Indra. And so he created he produced this Vaikuntha planet in the material world to put Indra in his place by showing a place greater than Swarga. Okay. We will stop at that point. Any questions about this paragraph? Yes.
So does it mean that we have different Vaikunthas in the spiritual world, and then when corresponding avatara descends to the material world, the same Vaikuntha only is, or the same?
They're all particular forms of the Lord, the same. So particular parts of Vaikuntha descend.
All this entourage, so...
Yes?
All this is entourage.
Yeah, the Lord who presides there, and at least some of the devotees, maybe not all of them, but some of them will come down with him. Okay, there's not room in the material world for the entire population of even one Vaikuntha planet. There's no room in the material world for all of them, only some of them will come. Okay, so we'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ejim. Oh.